Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And again, it's singular. Revelation, because there's only one revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to skip down to verse 18. As you turn your Bible there, a husband and wife had just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. While lying in bed that night, the wife whispered, "Why don't you hold my hand like you used to? I always enjoyed that." The husband reaches over and he places her hand into his. She then whispers, "Why don't you scoot a little closer? You're way over on the other side of the bed. I always loved when you would lay close by my side." The husband slides over and snuggles close. She then whispers, "Why don't you nibble on my ear? I always loved when you did that." The husband lets go of her hand, moves the covers off of him, jumps out of bed. The wife, a little taken back, "Where are you going?" The husband replies, "To go get my teeth." Got that, Harley?
Yeah, that's good.
Can't nibble without the teeth.
No, you can't do much.
Amen. This morning, we are going to be talking about this book. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 18. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This book is the Bible. Amen? The infallible, inerrant, inexhaustive Word of God. Question is, how can we be sure? This is a truth that we have to get settled in our hearts. If we don't, we will never have a sure peace. We will never have a sure hope. We will never have a sure faith. We will never have eternal security. Amen? John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now we need to be certain that the Bible is absolutely the Word of God. Why is that so important? Especially today. That's because, like never before in the history of mankind, the Bible is under attack like never before. There are those who just flat out despise it. They hate the Bible. And they hate everything it stands for. Then you have those who just deny it. They will never, ever admit that the Bible is the Word of God. You also have those who just disregard it. They believe it's no longer relevant. They believe that mankind has its own answers for all of its problems. And then you also have those who distort it. They misquote it, they twist it to fit their lives, to benefit themselves. But despite all those attacks, I believe the greatest enemy of this book is in our churches. The ones who claim it, but they fail to read it, they fail to study it, they fail to live by it. There is dust on their Bibles and there is drought in their hearts. Amen? In a world full of uncertainty, and let me tell you, this world is full of uncertainty this year. Amen? In a world full of uncertainty, we need a sure foundation that is only found in the Bible. Amen? Praise God. He has given us His precious Word. I talk to a lot of people each day, and I hear them talk about, you know, God just doesn't hear me. God doesn't speak to me. Friend, He has spoken volumes to us. This is His Word. All we have to do is open it up and listen to Him. I want to spend our time this morning uncovering truths in the Bible that tell us, that guarantee us, that assures us that without a doubt, it is the Word of God. Number one, science proves it. Now, the Bible is not a science textbook. Amen? Know that for sure. It was not given to us to show us how the heavens go. The Bible was given to us to show us how to go to heaven. Amen? But at the same time, the Almighty God of salvation is still the Almighty God of creation. All the laws of science, He created. Every single one of them. Over the centuries, scientists have claimed that the Bible is full of scientific errors. In 1861, the French Academy of Science published an article claiming 51 scientific errors in the Bible. What I want to tell you is the problem is that they just needed to catch up. Because today, some 150 years later, not one reputable scientist would support any of the claims that were in that article. Amen? It's not that the Bible changes. It's the fact that scientific accuracy simply improves. Amen? And in turn, it proves the truth of God's Word. Now let me give you some Bible truths that weren't always so. Some scientific biblical truths that weren't always so. Number one, the earth is suspended in space. This was not always scientific fact. The very educated Egyptians believed that the earth sat on five pillars in space. The sophisticated Greeks, they believed that the earth was held on the back of Atlas. Thousands of years before science would make the discovery that the earth was suspended in space, listen to what the Bible said in the book of Job, chapter 26, verse 7. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. Amen? Scientific truth. Number two, the earth is round. Sorry, flat earthers. Don't mean to bust your bubble. When Columbus sailed the ocean in 1492, scientists and the world's greatest thinkers, they warned Columbus, be careful, be careful. You're going to fall off the edge of the earth. They declared that the earth was flat until Columbus proved that it was a sphere. But over 2,000 years before Columbus sailed, listen to what God said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 22. It is He, God, who sits above the circle of the earth. And in the Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, that word circle is literally translated as a globe or sphere. It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Amen. Number three. The number of the stars in the heavens cannot be numbered. This wasn't always scientific fact. In 150 BC, respected astronomer Hipparchus charted the night sky, and he numbered every single star, all 1,022 of them. Now, this was considered proven science for the next 250 years. That was until another astronomer, Ptolemy, found four more. made a total of 1,026 stars total. And that was scientific fact for the next 1,300 years. All that went out the window when a man named Galileo invented the telescope. What did he see? Millions and millions of stars way beyond what our eyes could ever see. And today, we are aware of billions upon billions of stars in a number of massive galaxies. And that's only the galaxies that we're aware of so far. Amen. What they needed to do was to open up God's word and look in Isaiah or Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 22. God said, "As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured." Plain and simple. Scientific fact number 4. Blood circulates in the human body. Now, we understand this to be common knowledge today, but that was unknown all the way up into the 1600s. In 1615, William Harvey made that discovery. Before then, science believed that most illnesses were blood related. The cure was bloodletting. They would bleed the patient. They would bleed the sick person out. In fact, the father of our nation's first president, George Washington, died from bloodletting. Washington had a nasty respiratory infection, and the doctors of his day bled him out. They bled him out 3 times, but on the 3rd try, he bled to death. And to get even, politicians have been bleeding us to death with taxes ever since. Amen. Only if they would have looked into the Bible, God's word, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14. God declared, "For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off." God told us in his word, thousands and thousands of years before these so-called scientific discoveries. Number 5. Here's one that we are all well too familiar with today, and that is quarantining. Amen? In the 14th century, when the Black Plague struck Europe, people died in astronomical numbers. About 60 million people lost their life to the Black Plague. That is, 1 out of every 4 Europeans lost their life to a plague. Scientists and doctors, the most brilliant people of their day, had no clue how to stop the spread of the Black Plague. But you know who did? The church. You won't read that in your history textbooks, but it is fact. It was the church that stepped up and told people to read God's word, and you're going to find the answer of how to stop this plague. And the church was responsible for turning around the Black Plague. They looked in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. "He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sores, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." In other words, God was saying, quarantine the one who is sick. Thousands of years and millions of lives could have been saved if they simply looked to God's word. Amen. Number 6. Washing hands and washing in general kills germs. Again, something that's second nature to us. But not always. All the way up through the 1800s. In the 1800s, the mortality rate at the Vienna Hospital for birthing mothers, mothers giving birth, was 40%. That means 4 out of every 10 mothers giving birth would die during childbirth. Dr. Semmelweis wasn't satisfied with those numbers. It bothered him to his core. And he started doing some research and some study. And he discovered that the root cause of this massive mortality rate was the fact that doctors would perform autopsies in the basement of the Vienna church, in their morgue, and then go immediately from the autopsy into the birthing rooms of these expecting mothers without washing their hands. Dr. Semmelweis put into practice in the Vienna hospital that required hand washing by every doctor before they entered the birthing room. And those mortality rates dropped dramatically. What Dr. Semmelweis discovered had been written and recorded in the Bible thousands of years prior, in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Skipping down to verse 14. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who was slain by a sword or who has died, or a bone of a man or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. Verse 19. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself. How? By washing his clothes and bathing in water. And at evening he shall be clean. Now, science didn't understand germs throughout history. But let me tell you something. Germs did not sneak up on God. Amen. They didn't take God by surprise. And I could go on and on and on about more scientific facts and more scientific accuracy contained in the Bible. Why? Because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God spoke to those holy men of old. And by revelation of God, they wrote down exactly what God told them to write down. Scientific facts. God used these men to put His inspired word onto paper. Why? So that you and I, so that we can read it, so that we can learn from it, so that we can understand all that He has created. And what they were inspired to write down is what we have today, the Bible, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I can tell you that fact with 100% assurity. Amen? Amen? Not only does science prove it, but history also proves it. Just as I said with science, the Bible is not primarily a history book either. However, the Bible does contain massive records and massive volumes of history. Everything contained in it happened in history. So in essence, it is a history book. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses and is called the Pentateuch. Now, for centuries, Bible critics have tried to discredit Moses as the author of those first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. Why? Science and scientists, they claim that in Moses' day, they didn't even know how to write. Remember, man started off as a Neanderthal, as a caveman. They forgot to read something, didn't they? In the late 1800s, Sir William Petrie discovered what is called the Tell el Amarna tablets. And these tablets contain letters and business transactions between the Palestinians and the Egyptians. This tablet dated hundreds of years before Moses. Okay? So put that in your mind. Hundreds of years before Moses. This not only proved that they were able to write, but it also showed us that they also had a postal system and an advanced system of commerce and trade. All the things contained in these tablets. Now, another example of the biblical history and the accuracy of the Bible is found in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. In Daniel chapter 5, you're going to read about Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. Belshazzar threw a lavish, wild party. And during that party, God sent him a message by way of a hand that wrote on the wall. And in essence, to keep things short, that message was simply telling Belshazzar, because his rejection of God, his kingdom was going to come to an end. The Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, would rise and take over the Babylonian Empire. So for years, historians claimed that this biblical account of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, was wrong, was inaccurate. The Bible was wrong. Why? They had archaeological records that showed that Nabonidus was the last king of Babylon and not Belshazzar. That was until archaeologists uncovered a clay cylinder with the name Belshazzar on it. Now here's the cool part. The archaeologists, they were right, but guess what? So was the Bible. Nabonidus was the father of Nebuchadnezzar, or Belshazzar. More discoveries, more archaeological digs showed us that they were called co-regents or co-kings. Both Nabonidus and Belshazzar were both kings in Babylon. Whenever Nabonidus would leave or go away, Belshazzar was king, not acting king. He was king. Let me show you just how accurate the Bible is. Daniel chapter 5, verse 7. The king, Belshazzar, he cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And Belshazzar spoke, the king, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck." Now this is the important part. "And he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Why the third ruler? Because Nabonidus and Belshazzar, they were rulers one and two side by side. And the next highest elevation could only be what? Number 3. That's how accurate the Bible is. Amen. Now I want you to understand, even if the archaeologist didn't find the cylinder with Belshazzar's name on it, it would not have made the Bible any less accurate or any less true. Amen? We need to nail that down in our hearts. It is the inerrant, it is the infallible Word of God. Period. Every word from the in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last amen in Revelation chapter 2 is the inspired Word of God. And it is sure and it is true. And in a world turned upside down with uncertainty and fear, you can find peace and you can find comfort in knowing that the Bible is the sure Word of God. Amen. And we're going to park there. We're going to finish this message next week, because there's more to come.